Chapter 6. Life with Mr. Brownlow. The days passed with Oliver staying at Mr. Brownlow's. Oliver spent his time sleeping and drinking tea, and always under the careful watch of Mr. Brownlow and Mrs. Bedwin, who made sure he was getting better. 3 days later, the fever broke, and Oliver was finally well enough to get out of bed. He went downstairs into Mr. Brownlow's study to see him. Mrs. Bedwin accompanied him. "Ah, there's our young patient," said Mr. Brownlow, looking up from his work. "And how are you feeling today?"
"Very happy, sir," replied Oliver, "and very grateful, too, for your kindness to me."
"Good boy," said Mr. Brownlow. "Have you given him anything to eat, Mrs. Bedwin? I'm sure Tom here has grown tired of nothing but tea and toast."
"My name is Oliver, sir."
"Oliver? Oliver White?"
"No, sir, Oliver Twist."
"Well, why did you tell the judge your name was Tom White?"
"I never told him that, sir." This sounded so like a lie to Mr. Brownlow, and he was about to comment on it when his mouth dropped open and his skin turned pale. It seemed like Mr. Brownlow was looking at something behind Oliver, so the boy turned around to see what it was. It was a painting hanging on the wall over the fireplace. The painting was the image of a young woman with brown hair and thin cheeks. She seemed to be looking right at Oliver, and Oliver stared right back. He thought the woman in the painting was very pretty, but also looked very sad, too. "Who is that, sir?" Oliver asked. There was no reply. Oliver turned around again and looked at Mr. Brownlow.
Brownlow's eyes were moving, looking first at Oliver, and then back at the painting, and then at Oliver again. A moment passed in silence, then Brownlow sat back down and resumed his work. "Mrs. Bedwin, please be a dear and take Oliver to the kitchen," he said. "The poor boy must be starving."
"Yes, sir," Mrs. Bedwin said, sounding just as confused as Oliver.
"Right away."
Mrs. Bedwin told Oliver to follow her, and together they left the study and walked to the kitchen.
"Who was that in the painting?" Oliver asked.
"I don't know, Oliver," she replied. "The painting was there long before Mr. Brownlow hired me."
The next day, when Oliver went to visit Mr. Brownlow again, the painting was gone. Oliver felt saddened by this and asked what had happened to it.
"I had it removed," Brownlow replied, and that was all he said on the matter. Time moved forward. These were happy days, Oliver's time with Mr. Brownlow. Everything was quiet and neat, everyone so kind and gentle. He would play games with Mrs. Bedwin and had complete access to the home's vast collection of books. Mr. Brownlow even bought Oliver some new clothes, claiming his old ones were too dirty and torn up for him to keep wearing. Oliver didn't mind this. His old clothes were rags, just like Mr. Brownlow said, and he had never owned a suit before. To Oliver, after everything he had been through in his short life, it was like being in heaven. One day, about a week after the painting had been removed, Mr. Brownlow called Oliver into his study again to have a chat. Oliver walked to the room and knocked on the door.
"Come in,"
Mr. Brownlow called from inside the room. Oliver entered. He found Mr. Brownlow sitting in a chair by an opened window, reading a book.
"I have a great many books in this house, don't I, my boy?" he asked.
"Oh, yes, sir," Oliver replied. "I've never seen so many."
"Are you enjoying reading them?" Brownlow went on.
Then, in a softer voice, he asked, "Are you enjoying your time here?" "Very much so, sir. I'm very grateful for all you've done for me."
Mr. Brownlow gave a small smile. Then he sat in silence, looking at Oliver for quite some time, which made Oliver quite nervous.
"Now," Mr. Brownlow finally said, speaking in a quite serious manner, "I was wondering if you would like to do a little something for me, Oliver, to repay me for all I've done for you."
"Oh, yes, sir, absolutely."
Mr. Brownlow smiled and went to his desk.
He pulled out a small pile of books, all neatly tied together with two strings, and the old gentleman put them on the desk. He then reached into his coat pocket and pulled out a 5-pound note, which he gently placed on top of the books. "I'm afraid I ordered the wrong books from the bookseller," Mr. Brownlow explained. "You remember him, yes? The one at your, trial?" Oliver looked away in shame at the mention of that event. "Yes, sir," he mumbled. "Good, good," Brownlow continued. "I need someone to return these books to him. I still owe the man for the book I accidentally took that day as well. So I need someone to pay him this 5-pound note, but it needs to be someone I can trust. Otherwise, they might steal both the books and my money." Mr. Brownlow went over to Oliver. "Can I trust you, Oliver, to see the books and money delivered safely?" Oliver smiled in pride that Mr. Brownlow would ask him to do such a task. "Yes, sir," he said. "You can. I'll run them all the way there and back if I must." Mr. Brownlow smiled at this and told Oliver to pick up the books and money and be on his way then. "I won't be 10 minutes, sir," Oliver said eagerly. He slid the banknote into his jacket pocket and placed the books carefully under his arm. He then bowed to Mr. Brownlow and left the room. Mrs. Bedwin opened the door for Oliver, making sure he understood how to get to the bookseller, what the man's name was, and how to get back to the house. Oliver said he understood all of this and ran off to complete his task. Mr. Brownlow pulled out his pocket watch. "Let's see, he'll be back in 20 minutes at the latest." "Do you think it's wise, sir?" asked a servant who came in to give Mr. Brownlow his food. "Are you sure that you can trust him? What if he runs off with your belongings and never returns?" Mr. Brownlow looked at the empty spot above his fireplace where the painting used to be. "I have a great many reasons to hope he can be trusted," the old gentleman explained. "Fetch the painting from the basement. When he returns, we'll have a lot to discuss."